Beginning in verse number 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming. We just sang about it. He's coming. Did you know that the second coming of the Lord Jesus to earth is referenced more than 8 times? The number of times that told about his first coming. And he came. It's clear he came. World history bears that out in full detail. 8 times more references that he's coming. You know, when I was a boy, I expected his coming then. I did. I didn't think I was going to get to be a teenager, and I was worried about that because I expected the Lord to return. And then when I understood the threat of communism and Russia, I grew up in the United States, I was worried that the Lord would not come back before we got taken over by communism, and I would be in a slave labor camp somewhere. And then I was looking forward to getting married, and I expected the Lord to come back, and I was worried that he'd come back before I got married and had children. And on it goes, and here I am, 63 years old, and he's not come back yet. But you know what you ought to realize? I'm still reading my Bible, still praying, still going to church, still preaching, still serving. You know why? Because all the time I believed in the coming of the Lord. I've always looked forward to the coming of the Lord, believe he's coming. And I know now that if he didn't come then, and I thought he would come then, he's a lot closer to coming now than he was then. So he's coming. It is your appreciation of what's on the horizon that he's coming that helps you stay strong in the Christian faith. It's what's helped me. This is not the message. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together unto him. When he comes, we're going to be gathered together unto him. That you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. That's going to happen right now. Paul's apparently aware that there are some that are thinking that it might happen today or tomorrow. And he knows and he believes and he's preached that it is soon. But don't be troubled. He said, let me help you a little bit. Let no man deceive you by any means, verse 3. For that day shall not come except, and he gives us two things. Number one, there come a falling away first. The Greek word that is translated by the English words falling away is a word from which we get the word apostasy. In other words, there will be a great falling away from obedience to the faith. A great group of people, a great number of people will stop listening to the truth and will say, it's not true, I've abandoned it. They'll walk away. That's apostasy. That's got to happen first. No doubt there were people falling away during Paul's time. He mentions one named Demas who fell away having loved the present world. But he said there will come a falling away first, and it's a great falling away. And if you're aware of anything as a Christian, you know that there is a big falling away in the time in which we live. If you read David Cloud's articles, if you are confident in what he writes, you will know that there is a falling away. If you read the sound of the trumpet, you will know that there is a falling away across the world. Not abandoning Christianity, quote unquote, but abandoning the truth of the Bible and the truth of Christ we talked about last Sunday morning. Not everyone that names the name of Christ is valid, right? Jesus is attached to a lot of things. By the way, I don't know if I even want to mention it, but somebody sent me a article or a internet thing on a new ice cream shop. Jesus, what was it called? Jesus? Oh, Sweet Jesus. They've named it. Talk about an illustration of what we preached last Sunday morning. Sweet Jesus. It's an ice cream shop. And I don't want to go into details, but it is vile and disgusting. They are presenting it as a Christian thing and honoring Christ and getting out the scripture and so forth. But it is an absolute perversion of everything pure and everything holy. It is suggestive of child abuse. It is definitely satanic. All of their symbolism is satanic. If you know anything about Satan worship and you know about the Church of Satan, all of those things. And it is from what I read, growing and finding a ready acceptance and a ready market in the world in which we live. It's absolutely and totally disgusting and vile and perverse and wicked and evil. And yet, who knows it? Because the name Jesus is attached to it. And the cross, it's an upside down cross. Oh, they say, that may be a sign of Satanism, but didn't Peter die crucified upside down? He did. That doesn't mean the cross was upside down. And they have a justification for everything they do, but it's blatantly evil. Blatantly evil. It's bad. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come away except there be a falling away first. And number two, that man of sin be revealed. There's a revelation of some individual here called the man of sin, also called the son of perdition. If you reference the book of Revelation, you'll find there's a beast there that is in perdition or goes into perdition. He is one identified by the title Antichrist, world ruler. That's who this is. We believe Paul is talking about one who will come in the last days, who will be characterized as a man of sin, the son of perdition. He'll be called the Antichrist, so that term is not used in this chapter. Here's what he does. Verse 4, he opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember you not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he, that is the man of sin, the son of perdition, the one who's claiming to be God, you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. So here's what he said. The Lord's coming is not going to take place until, one, there's a great falling away, apostasy. Number two, the man of sin, the Antichrist, has been revealed. Something is keeping him from being revealed. There's something holding him back. The word withhold means to hold back or detain. What is it that holds him back or detains, keeps him back from being revealed in his time? Paul said, for the mystery of iniquity already works. What he represents is already going on in our world. That's already here. The spirit of Antichrist is already here. Only he, so we're talking about an individual, he who now letteth will let. The word letteth, notice that word. If you want to, in my Bible, I circle it, but I circle the word letteth and the word withholdeth. They're exactly the same word in the Greek. The translators have used two different English words, but they're the same word. What means, so it's this. The one or he, some individual, who now holds back or detains will continue to do that until he, the one holding it back, be taken out of the way. I believe that to be the Holy Spirit of God. The man of sin, the Antichrist, cannot be revealed, will not be revealed, because he's restrained by the Holy Spirit. When the church is gathered unto the Lord Jesus, the Holy Spirit will go, who resides in the believer, will also go from the world, and he will be free to be revealed. Now, all of that's not the message. It's setting the stage for the message. Verse 8, and then, when he that holds back is taken out of the way, then shall that wicked, notice the capital. We're talking about a person, an individual, proper name. Capital letter. Those of you that are in school, you should be learning that. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord, this is good, shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Hallelujah. He may appear on the scene, but it'll only be temporary because he's slated for destruction. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. Whoever this individual is, he's the pawn of Satan, the enemy of God, the first one, the original one who said, I will exalt my throne above the Most High. I will be like God. That's Satan. And this one is going to be just like him, motivated by him. But notice, he will come after the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. He's going to have signs and wonders that everyone can believe. The word lying doesn't mean that the wonder is a lie. It means that the wonder, which is real, will suggest the truth of a lie, that he is God, and he's not. But he'll be powerful with all deceivableness, verse 10, of unrighteousness in them that perish. People are going to be deceived. Those that are perishing are going to be deceived. Why? Here it is. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, because of that, because they receive not the love of the truth in order to be saved, because they did not, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Two key words we've read in verse 10 and verse 11. Truth and lie. The title of the message is, you only have two options. You only have two options. The truth or a lie. That's it. That's all you got. There are not a lot of other options. There's just the truth, and there's a lie. Everything that's not the truth is a lie. No matter how many of them there are, it's a lie. You understand that? And these that are perishing are going to be deceived by the one who comes with lying wonders. Why? Because they receive not the love of the truth. There's only one thing left. The lie. And so God will send them a strong delusion to believe the lie. That they all, that's those that would not receive the truth, the love of the truth, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You only have two options, and that's the truth and a lie. We're going to be talking about the truth today. I want to talk to you, first of all, about the meaning of truth. The word truth in the Greek language is a word which means literally unhide. Or, if you please, hiding nothing. Hiding nothing. Do you know what the Bible is? The Bible is what? A revelation. A revelation of who? God. To who? Man. It is God unveiling himself. God is leaving nothing hidden. God is unhiding himself so that you may know him. And so if you know God, you know truth. That's what the Bible is. Truth is nothing hidden. In the Hebrew language, the word truth, the Old Testament language, means firm or signifies firmness, constancy, duration. That means it's solid. It is everlasting. It is reliable. So do you know you have truth in Scripture, Old and New Testament? It is everlasting, reliable, revealed fact. Two questions for you. Number one, Have you received the love of the truth? Number two, have you believed the truth? If not, there's only one option, the lie. The truth and the lie. Our world is trying to complicate things. I'm trying to simplify it for you. There's the truth and there's the lie. Only two options. Now let's go on about the truth. I basically gave you the meaning of truth. Now let me give you the message of truth. I want you to get this. You can't miss it if you're listening. They receive not the love of the truth. I'm assuming that most of us at first glance are going to understand that by meaning they refused to love the truth. And that is okay. That is a true interpretation. That's fine. But let me ask you to look at it another way. Who tells the truth? Who tells you the truth instead of a lie? Let me ask you, which one of these two words would characterize the person who tells you the truth? Hides nothing. The person who loves you or the person who hates you? The person who wants to help you or the person who wants to harm you? You know the answer, don't you? They receive not the love of the truth. Where did the truth come from? God. Who is God? God is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Who's that? Jesus. Who said, I am the way, the truth. God is truth. God sent his Son, who is truth, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So why did God tell the truth, send the truth? Why did Jesus come to bear witness unto the truth? Because somebody loves you and doesn't want you to be hurt. Doesn't want you to perish, doesn't want you to be destroyed. Somebody wants to save you. But they receive not the love of the truth. Do you know why you don't take the truth? Because you don't trust the one who's telling you the truth. You don't believe he loves you. If you believe that they love you, then what they tell you is the truth. God loves you, and he speaks only the truth. And truth could not come from any other place than a heart of love. You've got to understand that. They receive not the love that the truth brings. That's why there is truth here, because somebody loved us. They didn't want us, God didn't want us to have to figure everything out ourselves and to hurt ourselves in the process. God told us, this is the truth. This is how it works. This is who you are. This is how I am, so that we could enjoy life. He didn't hide anything. He unveiled it. He showed us. The scripture says, thy word is truth. And who is the word of God? It's Jesus. By the way, if you still have any question, Psalm 85:11 is an interesting verse. Psalm 85:11 says, truth springeth up from the earth. Do you know anybody who ever of his own accord spring up from the earth when buried? Jesus. Why? Because he's the truth. He's the truth. And why is the truth here? Love. Love. The message of truth is that you're loved. The meaning of truth is that it's fact that stands forever. Trustworthy. You can build your foundation, your life upon it. It'll never change. But it comes from a heart of love. Here's Psalm 91:14. Psalm 91:14. Because he, God, hath set his love upon me. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm reading that wrong. My mistake. because he, the psalmist, you, me, or any man, because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. Love is for the purpose of deliverance or salvation. And again in our text, he will give them a strong delusion that they can believe a lie, because when he sent them the truth which would save them, they wouldn't accept the love offered in the truth. Therefore, they can't be saved. You understand that? So the context of the message is about the second coming of the Lord, but I'm taking from the context of the message a simple truth that we've got to get down and help others around us to understand. There's only two things, truth and a lie. And it will boil down to that in the last days. It is true now. It will always be true. So God will send them a strong delusion. They should believe a lie that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The ministry of the truth is to save, to deliver from perishing. Truth matters, my friend. Especially when you're on the receiving end of a lie. Somebody gives you a pill and tells you that it's Tylenol, and it's not, it's fentanyl. You're dead. You take the pill, you're dead. The truth matters. If somebody tells you the plane that you're boarding is taking you to California and you need to be in New England, guess what? You're not going where you thought you were going. Truth matters. You understand that? Truth matters. And if it's not the truth, it's a lie. God gave us the truth. Why? Because he loves us. Truth is a product of his love. It's the proof of his love. And love is the preferment of the truth. It's what you want, isn't it? Don't you want the truth? But if a man chooses not to love the truth, so he doesn't receive the truth, what else is there but a lie? So crucial. Something is not the truth because it makes you feel better. It's not the truth because it makes you feel safe. It's the truth because it keeps you safe. It delivers you. 1 Timothy, just turn ahead a couple of pages. You're in 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times, that means the times that are later than others. So we're getting the idea of the, if you're looking at the period of human history, in the latter part of human history, the Spirit is teaching us clearly, that capital S is the Spirit of God, teaching us that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith. Corresponds with what we just learned from Paul, that there will come a falling away first. Some shall depart from the faith, falling away, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy. You know why they're doing that? Because they've turned away from the truth. If you fall away from the faith, what is the faith except confidence, commitment to, and confidence in the truth revealed from God? And so if you turn away from that, what's left? Some other thought, which is not truth. It's deception. It's a lie. It's false. And so they're going to give heed. What they can't, they're not wanting any more the truth, so they're going to listen for something, and they're going to give heed to a seducing spirit who says, you almost had the truth. There was just a little something missing. Let me tell you what the real truth is. And they're going to alter the message a little bit. They've left the truth. They're going to make it look like the truth. They're going to seduce you. And it's really the doctrine of a devil speaking lies in hypocrisy. Do you know what the word hypocrisy means? It's the word in the Greek for answering or acting. Acting. They're speaking lies, acting like they're prophets of God, the truth tellers, the proclaimers of truth. They're only acting. And that's what the man of sin will be in that we just read about. He's an actor. He's not the innovator. He's the imitator. God is the innovator. In the beginning, God created. Everything began with God. He's the innovator. The devil's only an imitator. And the truth is the innovator, is the work of the innovator. And the lie is the work of the imitator who wants you to believe that what he's telling you is the truth. You know, this is so simple. Genesis chapter 1, 2, and 3, it's all we need. That's it. There's a group called Answers in Genesis, Ken Ham. He's right. All the answers are in Genesis. And more specifically, chapters 1, 2, and 3, what else you need? In there you have a God who speaks to a man and tells him something. Then you have someone else who comes, a serpent, who speaks to the same individuals and tells them something else. And they have to make a decision. And when they made the decision, before they made the decision, the consequences of making the wrong choice are told. One said, no, if you make this decision my way, this is what will happen. The other one said, if you make this decision my way, this is what will happen. They had to choose between the truth and a lie. And then we see the consequences of their decision. God's answer to their decision to believe a lie and the consequences for believing a lie. And from Genesis 4 to Revelation 22, it's just the same thing over and 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 over again. It's the illustration of the same truth. That God has spoken, this is what he said. This is what others say. And you have a choice of what you're going to believe. And there is a consequence that comes with the choice. There's only two options, the truth or the lie. If you refuse the truth because it's no fun, because you love unrighteousness, be honest about why. It's not that you haven't received the truth in the sense of the truth being delivered to you. It's that you refuse to take the truth in and hold on to the truth because you're having too much fun in unrighteousness. And if you choose to reject the truth because it spoils your fun, then you are going to believe a lie. And whatever fun you can get from the lie will only last a season, and then you will discover there's an eternal consequence. Very simple truth. Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. Verse 25. Speaking of certain individuals, the Bible says, well, we probably should go back and read verse 21, because it says in verse 21, they knew God, but they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. So they did receive the truth in the sense that they knew it, but they didn't receive it in the sense that they were glad. They didn't love the truth. The truth was given to them in love, and they were aware of the truth, but they didn't receive it with love. They didn't love the truth. They shunned it. And what they did, verse 25, is they changed the truth of God into a lie. Now, you can't change truth. Truth is truth. The word there in the Greek is exchange. They traded it in. They traded in, they exchanged the truth of God, the truth that came from God, the truth about God. They changed it into a lie. They exchanged it for a lie. God really wouldn't punish you like that. God is love. God is not going to do that. God will overlook it. And they've said all kinds of things about God. And then they worshiped and served the creature that's themselves. They're the created ones. Or the serpent, who is a created one. Here's Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Who are you going to worship? God, who you know created you, because before him, you weren't there. And he told you, I gave you life, so you know that you got your life from him. You didn't get it from the serpent. But the serpent is suggesting to you a course opposite to what the truth, God, your creator. And so when you make the choice, you are either worshiping the creator, who is the truth, who tells the truth, or the creature, who's a liar. And it doesn't matter whether the creature is Satan in his own person, or in the presence of a serpent, or in the face of a false teacher or false prophet. Doesn't matter. It's all Satan. It's all a creature. He was created. He didn't create. Only one created. And that is God. Do you worship and serve the creature more than the creator? It's not that they changed the truth. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. Well, if you do that, there's nothing left for you but a lie. And so God gave them up to the consequences of that lie. I'm going to close this in just a moment, but I've got to help you understand. Why would anybody not receive the love of the truth? It's very plain, but it's very painful. In the text, it says they are deceived because they received not the love of the truth. It says they believed not the truth. Why? Because they had pleasure in unrighteousness. It's selfishness. It is my self-pleasing that would cause me to reject the truth, that would cause me to be willing to believe a lie because I want. Selfishness and sensuality, those are the two things that characterize a man's life. And though he is confronted with the truth, he will not love the truth or embrace the truth, take it to himself, which is what receive means. It means to embrace, to take it in, to welcome it. The truth is not welcome. Why? Because I am sensual. I want my way. It's all about me. Every advertisement you will ever see in your life is meant to convince you of something. And every advertisement you see in your life is either the truth or a lie. I shouldn't go there. But I said, I kind of spoke for a few minutes on in a devotional at the camp on this subject. I said to the young people, I would love for one laundry detergent manufacturer, just one. Pick one, anyone, that makes their billions on laundry detergent and shows me the advertisements of the shirts with the stains on them, that if you use this product, phew, it's like brand new. One of them, bring it to my house with the detergent that we go together and buy that has their name on the shelf, and I will give them my sweater that has a spot on it, that I put in there with their detergent, not one pod, but two. Not two pods, I've even tried three. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know. But I get all done with the wash, take out the sweater, excited about wearing it again, and the spot is still there. And I say to myself, you liar. But I spent the money, didn't I? And now they've got new and improved. Maybe we made a little mistake on that one, so we've improved on it now. You understand where I'm going, don't you? It's all about them appealing to you and what you want and what moves you and motivates you. That's the base of every advertisement, either the truth or the lie. Here's the question you need to ask yourself this morning. You only have two options. Who is telling the truth? The God of the universe or the devil? The God of the universe or the person holding a Bible in his hand that tells you the Bible says something other than what you read in the Bible? Who's the true one, God or you? You know what you ought to do when Pastor McLean preaches? You ought to say, I'm going to check that out. Go to the book and ask God. If I am telling you what God said, and it's not what God said, you don't want to hang around. Because if it's not what God said, it's what? It's a lie. Doesn't matter who's telling it. The person who tells you you're worthless? Ask yourself this question. Who tells the truth? Them, the creature, or God, the creator, who says, look at the cross and learn that you are precious enough to me and worth enough to me that I would lay down my own life. I would offer up my own son for you. Who's telling the truth? The person who calls you worthless or the person who died for you? Who's telling the truth about how valuable you are? Whose voice are you listening to? Truth or a lie? It's one or the other. It's like a radio, AM or FM. AM alternative message. I got this from somebody else. Somebody shared it with me and I thought it was good. Or FM, the Father's message. Which one are you listening to? FM or AM? By the way, I did a little reading about it. That got me interested in radio because I grew up with radio. We don't fool with them much today, but I got to looking and found out that AM and FM, the modulation, the M stands for modulation, AM is amplitude modulation, and FM is frequency modulation. All of that doesn't matter to you. But what I learned is that there's a lot of noise on an AM station. Amplitude, amplified, a lot of noise, and so forth. On the FM station, the modulation is the frequency, and if you had a picture, it goes smooth like this, and the message is inside, but it's always smooth, and the word frequency is found in the description, and so I said to myself, that makes a lot of sense. When I'm listening to the voice of God, He wants to speak to me frequently, and His communication is a still, small voice, and in frequent communication with a still, small voice, I get the clearest sound and the clearest message and the most enjoyable blessing. But when I'm on the other station that's full of noise, loud and clamorous and alternative, I'm not getting the truth. Which one characterizes what you're hearing? I'm saying you only have two options, the truth and a lie. Which will it be? The one who says you're a victim or the one who says you're a victor? In all these things, you are more than conqueror. You're an overcomer. The voice that says you can't or the voice that says you can. Which one do you believe? Which one are you listening to? The voice that says, God is unfair. Or the one that says, I am just. Shall not the God of all the earth do right? The one who says your circumstances are hopeless. Or the one who says, you have a blessed hope. And in all those things, you're more than conqueror. We're familiar with the term fake news today, aren't we? It's been around for a long time, just not anybody calling it that. It began in the Garden of Eden, and it continues today. Ask yourself, what am I listening to? What am I basing my life on, the truth or a lie? What the psychiatrists and sociologists say, or what God says? What the radio pastor and television pastor says, or what the Word of God says? What my neighbor says or fellow Christian says or my relatives say or what God says. Build your life upon the truth. You got nothing to worry about. It'll never change. It lasts forever and it's a solid foundation because it's real. I wouldn't want to be in the position of God sending me a strong delusion. Look, if God decides to do something, it's going to happen and you aren't getting out of it. If God wants to delude me, I'm going to be deluded. But why did He send the delusion? Because they would not receive the love He offered them by telling them the truth. And they wouldn't fall in love with the truth which came from somebody who loved them. And so there's nothing left but a lie. And so He lets them believe a lie. He just withdraws the spirit of truth from them and they believe a lie. You don't want to be that one, do you? Embrace the truth. Love the truth. Understand that the truth came from somebody who loves you. And learn to love the truth. Because it will deliver you, save you, help you. And the other will damn you and destroy you and surely disappoint you. Heavenly Father, bless your word to the hearing of your people. And may we have wisdom today to believe the truth, to receive the love of the truth. I believe, Father, that perhaps none of us will ever truly love the truth without the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us the truth, so we have to receive the Holy Spirit. We have to receive you. And when we receive you and love you, then we know the truth. Father, please, I pray if there's anyone here that's lost, unsaved, basing their hope for eternity on the lie that their works can save them, that their religion can save them, I pray they would understand the truth that there's only one way to heaven, that's by Jesus. No man cometh to the Father but by him. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we might be saved, just Jesus. Please, Lord, help them to believe the truth today about their sinful condition, their need of a Savior, your provision of a Savior, and your readiness to save them. And Father, for those of us in this room that are saved, I plead that we would understand this issue and we would not be among those who turn aside from the truth, who fall away from the truth, and thus allow ourselves to fall under the deception of a great imposter and imitator who's powerful, and he comes with signs and wonders, but is telling us a lie. Oh God, deliver us from that. Help us to understand the need to know the truth, to love the truth. And I'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.